Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and pop culture collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to our show of Dream Chasers and Wealth Makers. We are thrilled to be back in studio today with a new episode of the Zandbergen Report. I'm proud to bring you in the movers, shakers, and difference makers who are passionate about what they have learned and what you need to know today. And today I have as my esteemed guest and partner, Paul, we have Tish Birdbaum.
Yes, we do. A rare occurrence here today. I haven't heard for a while. I didn't know she was. We were putting out a search warrant for her. We didn't know where she was. We kept trying to find her. She doesn't call. She doesn't write.
I was working with clients. I was busy.
On time. Okay. All right, so what we are going to discuss today is the election. Now what?
Oh, boy. You going to let me pipe in on that one, or is this? Have to silently listen,
Paul,
here?
I think we're going to have to mute you on this one. We're going to get too charged.
I'll take over the whole. Stand back. I'll tell you what happens next.
This one can go really sideways with compliance really quickly, so we are going to keep it very compliance-friendly today.
Okay. All right. I will just say one thing, and I hope this isn't a compliant, and then I'll shut up here. It seems like the markets have been receptive to this thing here, based on what I've read and what I've seen. I feared that, anytime there's turnover or turmoil, they would, but they seem to like this kind of divided government, and maybe things will get a little more stable and predictable. I don't know if that's true or not, but that seems to be my initial impulse.
So we are going to discuss that. That's actually one of the first things that we'll discuss, Paul. So thanks for the lead in.
There you go.
But I think the bigger thing is Tish and I are getting many, many phone calls from clients and friends to say, elections happened. What's going to happen now? I think there was a lot. I know there was a lot of anticipation regarding the election. There was a lot of fear regarding the election.
Record turnout.
We are extremely bipartisan, and we're not advocating one party or another. We're just talking really the economics and the market and the effects of this. And we are actually currently working on a client-approved webinar that hopefully we'll be able to discuss in a couple of weeks. And then for those who want to attend, that will get into much more detail. We'll be inviting some of our partner investment firms to help us with that. But that should be up, will be forthcoming.
I would love to hear it, because we're all wondering, and I'm sure your clients are too. Now, what next?
Right.
And just so you know, I don't think we have ever promoted, I could be wrong, Bart, I don't think we've ever promoted an event to people on the podcast to tune into. So this will be a first on our behalf to invite them in to listen to our thoughts of the market and where we think we what's going on from now going forward, when we can go a little bit more granular. But
that's something
to look forward to, and we will be tweeting that out and messaging you guys. If you are interested, again, not interested, no problem. We are here for you on this platform.
So we are just days out from the election, and there's still a lot of, I would say, excitement ahead, because some decisions are claiming the decisions aren't final. So we will see, in the long run, but. We've got this issue. We're also in the middle of hopefully we're in the tail end of a pandemic, but we're in a year that's had an election, a year that's had a pandemic, a year that's had all sorts of crazy things. So then, the question of kind of now what or what's next, I think is relevant.
Well, I'd like to bring up something, and anything we talk about today, I want to make sure that we're very generic with, but I think that it's been really interesting with everything that we've been through with COVID and the election and the markets and uncertainty and the volatility. I think that it might be interesting just to kind of talk about big picture, Bart, where we are now, and some exciting news. Like this last week, they're talking about announcements of having some vaccinations available, and what we think, big picture, what that can do to our economy and marketplace, maybe coming back to normal after the election.
Yeah. So, and we can go in a couple of different directions here, I think. But let's just start kind of with maybe election stuff. And I'm sure the pandemic will work its way in.
Great.
But and Tish, I know that we were both fielding calls along the same area. And there were those that were concerned that a Joe Biden presidency would wreak havoc on the market because of his proposed tax raises and taxes. And I think I think there was a strong argument for that, that made logical sense. And matter of fact, there was a part of me, and I assure you, that was worried about that as well. And really, neither of us, no one on this planet knows exactly what's going to happen with the market or the economy for sure. But there just seem to be some indicators. But I think a big picture, a big important statement, and Paul actually kind of led into that, is at the end of the day, and neither of us are politicians, and I wasn't on my specialties in school as well, but a divided House and Senate is hugely important from a checks and balances perspective. And I believe that the positive reaction to the market was just that. Look, there's a change in guard. Fine. He is proposing increase in taxes in several areas. However, with a divided House and Senate, the ability for him to push things in easily is probably not going to happen. So I think that has helped significantly for those that were worried of the changing of the guard. And it actually makes a bunch of sense. I think checks and balances just in general in any business and any walk of life, but in politics specifically, is where I think where the term actually came from, is extremely important. So whether or not the tax increases come through is yet to be seen. But even if they are continued to be pursued, I believe it will take months, if not years, if they even get through.
And this is a great point that you're bringing up. So, you know, as we do a lot of planning for all of our clients, year-end planning is very strategic for everybody. And like you said, especially when there's a changing of guard, whenever there's a change in leadership, there could potentially be an issue with big, you know, policy changes. And like you said, taxes is a big one. And at the end of the day, taxes affect everybody, right? So as far as planning, we're being really strategic on meeting with all of our clients. And I think that that's still a great plan of action going forward, is just checking in and seeing where you are and based on some of your thoughts, what that looks like. But like you said, I think that there might potentially be some relief that major conversations we talked about tax changes doesn't look as, you know, certain at this time, which is it's a little bit more reassuring.
Yeah. Tish, I know you already know this answer, but I would throw it out. And if anyone wants to tweet in their thoughts, I think that would be interesting. So the question is, under what party presidency do you think the market does better over the 4 years? Like, for example, for the 4 years of the Republican president, does the market do better than versus 4 years of a Democratic president?
I know the answer.
So we wait for the answer. Paul, if you're still listening, what do you think the answer is?
I think it's actually, you would think it'd be the Republican Party, but this little bird in my head says I think it's the Democratic Party. I think when Democrats have been elected, the market has actually performed better.
That was kind of a loaded question. The way I set it up, people usually kind of see through me because I'm a bad poker face. But yeah, it's true. And, you know, the last 4 years have been, you know, pretty fantastic for the market. It happened to be Republican, but we're talking about the average over 4 years. So, you know, if we look at that and we look at the fact, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that we've got the divided House and Senate, we should talk about that as well in the market. We still have low interest rates, and it doesn't look like those are going to increase anytime real soon. The Fed has talked about 2024. Inflation still seems to be at bar. So there's a lot of things that I think say, hey, the market should continue to be, you know, at a nice growth rate.
So let me ask you a question on that just before you leave that. Maybe this is more than you want to go into, but, you know, obviously one of Biden's platforms was that he's going to roll back some of the tax cuts that the Republican last administration put in place. You would think that would terrify those in business. Corporate taxes may go up. Again, if he got it through, corporate taxes may go up. High-end personal taxes may go up. And yet, I don't see that there's a fear built in right now. And I don't know if that's because they assume that a Republican Senate, a divided government, will continue to block that from happening, or whether they've already factored that in.
You're right. I think that is the consensus. That's the feeling, is because, it's not one party taking over presidency, House, and Senate, because there is some gridlock. There's some opportunity for people on both sides to have a voice that they might, you know, slow each other down in making major policy changes.
So we can't, and all that true, and Tish, very well said and well spoken. And you did bring it up earlier. We can't deny the fact that there is now a vaccine that at least has publicly made a release that is 90% effective, so on and so forth. So that certainly has helped. And just, I think the prospect of travel again and going to public places and all sorts of that, not tomorrow, but the prospect of it in 2021 because of the vaccine, I think that in conjunction with the divided government, I think is a pretty good kind of platform for continued market success.
And it's interesting, Barb, that you said that. And I think we've talked about this a number of times, and I'd like to reiterate it, because especially during times like this, people don't understand, you know, what does this mean for me going forward? How is this going to impact my portfolio in the future? I mean, those are the real questions that people should be asking. And at the end of the day, when we look at the stock market, what does the stock market hate the most?
Perfect. I was going to lead in that too. Uncertainty.
So uncertainty. So they don't like it, doesn't they? The stock market doesn't like uncertainty. And so now that we're starting to see, like Bart just said, we have vaccinations that are coming closer to be able to help with COVID and being able to maybe get more people back to some type of, let's say, reality of their lifestyle of some sort, that gives people hope, gives the market hope, gives the optimism of being able to have somewhat more of an, you know, quote unquote normal lifestyle, that the market sees that there's more certainty potentially in the future, and it can start factoring some of that stuff in as we start to, you know, see the market change going forward.
So my counter to that is actually in support of that. So with regards to the uncertainty, that I think would be my disclaimer to the market going forward. Should the controversy continue, should we not know for sure who the president is because of the controversy and the recount and the lawsuits and so on and so forth? Again, not taking the political side on this, just kind of stating the facts of what could happen.
The way and the effect.
Yeah. So the effect of that could be, I believe, some volatility. Not that it changes the fundamentals of the market per se, just the perception of the uncertainty could likely create some volatility.
So can I ask you guys one other question here? And maybe I'm going again too far than you want to go here. Tell me if I am. But typically, every administration that comes in has certain priorities, and those priorities will play out in the market. Reagan was pro-defense, and so defense stocks were projected to go up. Biden is talking about green energy and other things, and so the assumption is that electric car makers or green stocks may go up. Without giving any specifics, are there categories that, assuming that it plays out the way it is today, the middle of November, and that's all but certain right now here. It's not certain right now here. But let's assume that there's a transfer of power and that, as projected, Biden takes over, the Republicans hold on to the Senate, and something, the president's going to have certain priorities. Any sectors that you would say that might be one to watch?
So that's a great question, but the problem with being on a public platform is we're not allowed to give investment advice. Smell of that. So we're going to have to refrain from answering.
But I'm sure with your clients, I'm sure that not on the public platform, but I'm sure you're looking at categories or market sectors or something that might benefit from this. Right?
Yeah, exactly. We get granular with our clients and go into more depth because, like what Bart said, we are you know, we don't know the suitability of everybody listening to the show. We don't know everyone's risk tolerance on the show. And so because of that, we have to be incredibly generic, unfortunately. And that being said, you know, I would say the most important thing is speaking with your advisor, getting a check-in and saying, hey, how's it going? Maybe if you haven't heard from your advisor in a while, reach out, because now's a great time to say, hey, where am I? What's our game plan going forward? What's your thoughts on the market? And then how I reposition myself going forward to be able to make sure that I'm maximizing in this new marketplace, the marketplace going forward. And of course, I would always say, make sure the golden rule is have diversification. And that's a lot of, it's the golden rule of making sure that you're offsetting a lot of risk is diversification and depending on your risk tolerance. So I'm sorry to be super generic.
I get it.
At the end of the day, we have to make sure we're not.
One more reason we should all sign up and be your clients here. Then we can have a fiduciary responsibility. I'll tell you one other thing that is just as an aside. For the last couple of years, we do other business shows here. And we ask business leaders periodically, what is it that keeps you awake at night? What are you worried about? And overwhelmingly, this is just anecdotal evidence on my part, but we do 20-some shows, you know, every week. Overwhelmingly, the answer that comes back over and over again is political uncertainty. It almost seems like they're like, just figure it out and tell us what the rules are. It's the uncertainty of, are we going to have a trade war? Are we not going to have a trade war? Are we going to, is one party going to do this and one party's not going to do this? And this uncertain period where we're just living on a razor's edge here. And it seems, I don't know if you feel that way or if you get that from people, but people would, I get the feeling like, just come up with some, I'd like to look ahead with some certainty. Even if the certainty is something I don't like, I can factor it in.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that. We've run through different scenarios and we can go back historically and we do stress tests on people's portfolios and say what you have with us or somewhere else. And we can stress test that of how different types of market conditions affect their portfolio. And I would say to answer that is just honestly, the best thing is just talk to someone like us and we can help you with that process. I think that if your portfolio is set up correctly or to your own risk tolerance, then at the end of the day, that shouldn't be that big of a factor because that's being evaluated and looked at and it's being considered with the portfolio creation. So, Bart, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
It's hard to add to perfection. That was a great answer.
Well, you know, and I guess that's the last thing I'll say is we had somebody on the other day who was a former economist for Northern Trust, big bank, and now he does, I don't know, whatever he does. He's still an economist, but I think he's for hire or something. And so he's been on a couple of our shows before, and he's always a good prognosticator, you know, kind of looking ahead broad terms, what's coming. And he said, for the first time in my career, I can't tell you what's coming. Because we're in unprecedented times. I can't go back and say, well, in 1920, this is how we handle it, or the last 20 years, this is how we handle it. For example, the jobs. Okay, are these jobs that people were laid off, are these permanently laid off, or are they going to come back at some point in time? So tell me the answer to things like that, and I'll tell you my prediction. What do you think? Are we in unprecedented times? It's tough to look ahead.
I think that we are in definitely a changing environment, right? I mean, I absolutely think the way that we view things, it's going to be a pivot. This is my personal opinion.
Right.
This is not factual for anybody, but my personal opinion, I think the way that we conduct business will be changed. I think in some capacity, how long that we're like Zooming every day, don't know. But I think that because of that, people are going to learn how to be more efficient with technology and resources and purchasing and buying things and how they buy. There's definitely going to be an effect, in my opinion. And I think that you're already seeing that happen, like in March when the pandemic happened and it initiated and, you know, the market was hit really hard. And then all of a sudden we've had an amazing amount of recovery because things have shifted. People are still continuing to be consumers. They're buying goods. They're just doing it in a different way. So you're seeing a shift already. I think it's already proof it's happening.
So I think it's so interesting, the comment that you said from this gentleman. I say this a little bit tongue in cheek, but with some truth as well, and with no disrespect, but both weathermen and economists, they continue to have a job and they're often not right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And again, it's not meant to be mean or any disrespect. It's just the way it is. And I think look at the pollsters. Again, we're kind of pulling back to politics, and I'm not, again, taking a side, but...
They were totally wrong again after they swore we got it this time. We've corrected our models.
Again, and Tish and I will do year-end reviews, you know, like in January, what happened the previous year, and we'll look at what the forecasters and what the economists have predicted for that year, and 60 to 75% are incorrect. And then nobody, that's a probably strong term, not many, very few, all right, if any, are right consistently. They'll be right, you know, on occasion and then maybe be close. So the whole concept, and I'm getting kind of more big picture theoretical, I don't think anyone has the ability to predict the market, predict the economy. Who predicted COVID pandemic? There's not a person on the, well, I can't say that. I doubt there is a person on the planet that...
Bill Gates actually did. Bill Gates has been harping on this one for a long time.
There's a couple of people that popped up on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Where the markets are going to be in the future, and when you find it, you send it to me.
Yeah, but nobody was listening. Everybody thought, well, they dismissed that as a real fear.
But I think Tish made a great comment. I think and this is the answer that we're giving to clients that are you know, a bit nervous. Even though the market's doing well, we still have clients that were not happy with the results and sure. still feel that we are doomed. I said, look, let's just pull politics that look at the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We have designed a portfolio that's, you know, depending on the person, depending on the risk profile and goals and so forth, et cetera, but is designed for you to manage during all times. We're going to lose money some years. We're going to gain a lot of money some years, but you know, the average is going to be something that you're going to find acceptable. And just let's lean on that. Let's lean on the history that we have that shows that, you know, here's some worst case scenarios, here's some best case scenarios, and use that. I think to constantly trying to predict what's happening, I think is just a loser's game.
So it's just being prepared then and being smart about it. Yeah. Being nimble, being prepared, those kinds of words.
Yeah. I want to bring up two more things. We're running out of time, but I want to make sure that they're hot topics.
Running out of town. She said running out of town there. I didn't know.
People are doing that too. Definitely conversations that were happening right now. But I want to, Bart, I don't know if we have enough time, but I'd love to say.
You got 5 minutes.
Perfect. Okay, so 2 minutes. I'd like to talk about inflation and interest rates. Where do you want to start, inflation or interest rates? I think interest rates.
So sure, we could talk about both. I kind of summarized it earlier, but I think, you know, so interest rates, the Fed has already said not raising until 2024. Now, that's what they said. Is that what they're going to do? We'll see. But when we're in an economy that's off or still in a pandemic, trying to supercharge it, I just logically could not see them raising it because it would but dampen whatever efforts they are making to get the economy started. So I think that stays low. Inflation, I think we've talked about on the show, where I just say it a lot to clients, is there's now something called an average inflation rate that the Fed is trying to meet. So while we will see inflation at some point, which is currently somewhere under 2, you know, with an average inflation rate of 3, I don't see it getting out of control like it was in the 80s. You know, in the high teens. So I think I don't see either of those really getting out of control.
And you know, someday, not today, but someday you should do a show about inflation, because I still can't wrap my head around, and I read it all the time, that the Fed wants a little inflation. You know, we say, I don't want any inflation. No, they like a little inflation. Yeah. Somehow that's a good thing.
You're right.
Well, I think that would best be answered if any economist will come on the show after I kind of maybe...
After you bash them?
inadvertently. No, it was not.
You guys don't know what you're doing.
I did say they didn't know what they were doing. Yeah. I did not say that. They're great historians and they're great modelers. Anyway, just digging my own deep hole. We could have, you know, from some of our investment firm partners, they have economists on staff. I think it'd be great to have one and really go through that. And I think that's a great idea, Paul.
Because we're all worried about inflation. Those of us old enough to remember those 80s, oh my God, inflation was running at what, almost 20% or 15% or some crazy number here. And so they're always afraid. That's their biggest fear, getting inflation out of control. And yet they don't want deflation either, where the opposite, which we've only seen once or twice. They like some, there's a little sweet spot there, like a little bit of inflation, and I'm not really sure I understand why.
Yep, and that's where the economists come in, because that's a little bit above my pay grade as well.
Right.
But you know, that leads into another topic that Tish and I will do sometime in the very near future. But we've had considerable amount of questions and conversations with clients about, look, and this is more pandemic related, but the Fed has taken on so much debt
in order to supercharge
the economy. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to the dollar? What does that mean to our portfolio?
Right.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a technical conversation, but I think that's something worth having.
And I think there's no topic that economists differ more on that than that topic. There are some, starting with Ronald Reagan said this many years ago, inflation doesn't matter. You know, the deficit doesn't matter. And then, of course, then several years later, Republicans created the Tea Party and Paul Ryan and all that. Oh, no, the deficit, the Jack Kemp, representative from Buffalo, New York, who died a number of years ago. But Jack Kemp's school of thought was this. Oh, no, it's critical. It's critical because it consumes a certain amount of, there's only so much capital in the world and the government's eating it all up. And there's less capital that can be invested and spread around stuff here.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna take a position on that, but I will tell you that Warren Buffett says, a quote from him, you can finance debt as long as your currency holds up. And with the 10-year currently at about 0.68 and the 30-year at about 1.2, that is a rate that the US can sustain debt for, I think, quite a long time.
Right.
And that I think answers your question about that, Paul.
Yeah. And the only reason I point that out, not to argue either side, but within the Republican Party, there have been two extremely different points of view. Debt doesn't matter. Debt does matter. And so even within one party, much less when you get into two parties and multi-views and everything, that's a very confusing subject. And then people define, how do you define debt? Is it just a debt versus a percentage of GDP? Or are we factoring in what's the roads worth? What's our buildings worth? What's our everything else worth?
Sure.
Our infrastructure worth? You know, is it just a percentage
All
of
right.
what? Okay.
I think we covered it.
So you're saying stay calm?
Stay calm. Namaste, Paul. Namaste.
Namaste. Well, I would feel much calmer if I had somebody like you guys in my corner who was tracking this, watching it, measuring it, and preparing for all sorts of eventualities. How do people reach you if they want more than ever? I think this is not a time. This is my little commercial. I'm not sure I should be out there being my own robo-advisor here and just trying to do it all myself here.
It'd be so scary, Paul.
I'll let Tish answer that one. Tish, how can they get a hold of us?
Yeah, so I'm sure we've announced it, but we're super excited. So you go to, if you want to find us via email, you want to sign up for maybe our seminars or learn more about us, or you're just saying, hey, I have questions for you guys, or maybe it's finally time to like take a look at what's going on. I just want to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah,
and
right.
Get those answers, those questions answered. So if you go to info@thezambergengroup.com, you can email us. It's actually info@zambergengroup.com. And you can also go on our website and you can click on the button that says contact us, and we're happy to help you. And we also have our Facebook, Instagram, and
your weekly podcast where people can tune in and hear about interesting conversations from the fun and
cheat sheet of all the great places you can find us.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. No, I just think I know this is maybe sounds too self-serving, but I really do think, whether it's you guys or whoever, I think it's for a long time, like myself, I can handle this. I got tons of information. I got the internet. I can read all this stuff. I think we're more confused than ever, and I think that's where you really need some good direction and good advice from somebody. I think too many people are out thinking they can do it on their own, and it's very confusing. Even the experts are confused. So in that time, you need somebody who's going to watch it very carefully.
Yeah, and Paul, I want to just make sure I say this one thing, is we try really carefully not to promote us as advisors and say, you know, just come to see us. That's
right.
Really not this. We're here to help you guys. We're here to help everyone on the radio to provide.
That's right. This is a free service, right?
Good information. And we're happy to help.
Good. Well, I think that's a well spoken, because this is not just an ad for you guys. This really is an insight into that we don't have. It's one more bit of information that people can factor in. It's free. We have a large community here at OC Talk Radio, and we welcome you guys being part of it. So, All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming on. Okay.
All right. Tish, good job. Thanks for helping me out today.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting podcast.bartzandbergen.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. The contents of this podcast episode do not constitute an offer of securities or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities and may not be relied upon in making an investment decision related to any investment offering Access Wealth Management LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Access does not warrant the accuracy or completeness of the information contained herein. Opinions are our current opinions and are subject to change without notice. Prices, quotes, rates are subject to change without notice. Generally, investments are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value. Brokerage services are offered through Tessera Capital, member FINRA.